This is a podcast from the Queen City Podcast Network.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jen.
My name is Abby.
And this is Amused Boosh.
Woo!
That's what we needed to do to get back in the groove. We're here. We're back.
This is what happens when I try to drink water. My mouth cements itself shut and it's like, I don't know what you're doing, but stop.
Back to wine.
Back to wine, coffee and wine, or maybe some tea. We'll figure out a little later, but back in the studio. Hey, Taylor.
Hey, Taylor.
Hey, girl. Oh, my God. Friendly faces.
I like want to cry a little bit. Yeah.
It does. I know it hasn't been that long, but it feels like it's been a minute.
I think it's been a real minute.
We've been busy.
We've been really busy. We've traveled. We've had new responsibilities outside of the studio handle. Real life sucks sometimes.
It really does. The good thing about this side hustle is that it's here for us when we need it. And I feel like, especially when it feels like I'm detached from Charlotte, I can always come back to this and figure out, like, what can we do to ground ourselves in the place that we call home?
Yeah.
And try something new and sort of reignite what we've always tried to be, which is sort of the conduit for what the food culture can be here. So anyway, it's good to be back. We have a lot to cover.
We have so much to cover. We have done a lot.
We have. And, you know, like I said, there are always going to be those tried and true things that are like mainstays in Charlotte.
Yeah.
And one of which we have been fortunate to be connected with over the years.
It's 3 years.
Is that 3 years
now? This is our third year.
This is the third year that we've been involved.
Yes, exactly.
But they've gone back, I believe, further than that.
Yes.
Years and years.
Sure.
But this week coming up, I believe starting on the 16th of April.
That's tomorrow, Jen.
That's tomorrow, exactly, is the Charlotte Wine and Food Week.
Woo-hoo!
Presented by Truist. So there are a ton of things going on. I was fortunate to just receive an email with all of the amazing events listed.
Many of them are sold out, you guys. Of course they are.
The one that sticks out to me that I think is, I mean, I don't know how you could do this any better, but it looks like they're doing a closing night dinner at Restaurant Constance featuring Bonfi Vintners.
Shout out to our friends at Restaurant Constance.
Shout out, Chef Sam. Love you all dearly. Yep. So that's going to be something not to miss. It looks like as of sort of right now, there's tickets available. So don't wait, right? Go check that out. But the event that I feel like really culminates in the experience is the Grand Tasting.
The Grand Tasting.
This year it's happening on April 20th, and I think we know some friends that are going to be there.
Oh, we do. Our friends from Prime Fish, Fish Cellar, that's going to be Chef Robin and team.
Heroes.
Yes, they're going to be slinging some sake for us.
I love that because it's, I think when you've got so many like wines set up, it starts to get a little monotonous.
Yeah.
I mean, the list here says over 100 curated wines for the experience.
It's amazing.
It's amazing, but I feel like having the sake there just breaks it up a little bit, gives you something more interesting, not more interesting than wine. Listen to me, I'm a bad wine.
I was going to say, who are you?
But it's nice to have something different, right? Because not every menu in the city is going to lend itself to a bomb wine list,
right? Well, and what a perfect way to get introduced to sake as a wine, right? Because it is more like wine than it is other types of spirits or other alcohols. So
shout out Sake Sarah for educating us.
Yes, educate us all the time. Hopefully, our friend Sake Sarah will be there as well. Let's see. But here's the thing, Jen, that's kind of blowing my mind.
Go on.
This will be our third year coming to the Grand Tasting, so keep an eye out for us when
you get there. Say hello. Take a picture.
Hi. Yeah, we would love that. But as I was chit-chatting with some of our friends who will be there representing their organizations, they said, yeah, you know, like this is always like a huge thing. We've been here. And she said, yeah, I heard they're going to do it bigger this year. And I'm like, whoa, bigger this year?
I'm not sure how.
That's what I was thinking. Like, this is a huge and amazing event. There are opportunities to donate to the charities that are, you know, of focus. There's a silent auction. There's great music. The J. Peoples Band is going to be there.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my. J. Michael Peoples. Michael J. Peoples. Whoops. Yeah, we'll figure it out. That. Anyway, he's going to be there. The grooves are going to be going hard. There's going to be amazing food, amazing drink. It's going to be quite a time.
I like this event because they give you variety.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it can be a lot, and they give you plenty of time to experience it. So like some of my favorite moments were when we'd made a couple of passes and we found a table and we just sat down and either like really dug in on one of the dishes that we got or just enjoyed the music, maybe took a look at the setup and plotted our next round.
Yeah.
But I feel like so often you go to those things and there's just like nowhere to sit. It feels like you're crowded with a bunch of people, and it does get crowded, yep. but that space is so open that it feels like they really don't struggle to accommodate
Absolutely.
The folks that are there. And the staff that they have, we have
Incredible.
To give a shout out to. I think last year, were they wearing Lay's?
Yeah.
To get to, so like if you want to put in a wine order, you know exactly where to go. Mm-hmm. Everyone is so friendly and just wanting you to have a great time. So shout out to the Charlotte Wine and Food Week team for putting on a stellar event.
And let's just say one of my favorite things about Charlotte Wine and Food Week Grand Tasting is at the very end, after we've gotten to try all of these amazing wines, you can order a
yes.
case with your friend
yes.
and then it gets delivered to you.
Yeah.
That's the best
yeah.
part.
Or you go pick it up like
yeah.
I did, because I was like, please don't leave it on my front porch. But if that's an option for you, then yeah, they can deliver it to you. Super great. The wine partner that they have there, I'll have to double check. I believe last year it was Wine Vault.
Yeah.
So they do a stellar job of bringing in immense talent for such an important event.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's for charity. That's the most important thing.
Yep.
This entire event is put on specifically for charity.
The entire week of events.
We'll have to update when everything is said and done to see what their final numbers are. But they pull out some stops for all the charities.
Pull out some stops like at the train.
Ding,
that's
ding.
Ding, ding. Coming
the
right
San
in.
Francisco treat.
That's right.
Yeah. So more to come on that. But if you see us at the Grand Tasting, please do say hello.
We'd love that.
All right. Moving on up.
To the set.
All right. So I work in the hospitality industry, right? And if there are any benefits to that, at a minimum, you are connecting with other people who love food, right?
Yeah.
At its finer moments, you might get a little bit of a perk here
Ooh.
And there. So I was fortunate through my current role to be introduced to someone who spent a good amount of time in the wine industry in Charleston.
Oh, no way.
So a sommelier has a ton of connections there. When I said that I was going there for a quick weekend in March, I had a slew of offers of places to go and people to connect with.
Just this like is, a list of recs.
This was important, right? Was not only just here's a place you want to go, but here's who owns it or here's who is behind the bar there. Tell them I sent you. You're going to love them.
This is so our Amuse Bouche vibe.
100%.
Right? Yeah.
I could do this all day long and I will absolutely prioritize those places
mm-hmm.
because you walk in somewhere and you say, hey, this place came recommended to me by so-and-so, and their face lights up, and they're like, oh, man, I know that guy. I love that guy. Come on in. Sit down.
Yeah.
There was one place that we went that was, like, near closing, and I have a harsh, like,
yes, you want
dislike
to respect
of that.
That time.
So I popped my head in, and I asked if it was okay if we came in, introduced myself, told the bartender sort of what the situation was, and they were stoked. They were like, come on in. Sit down. What can I get you, right? So, and we got to have a great conversation. I think we ended up talking about Oregon Chardonnay or something
yeah.
like that. It was just obscure. So follow those instincts like I did all the way to a James Beard semifinalist in Sullivan's Island, Obstinate Daughter.
Oh, I love that name to begin with.
Yes. Now, this is a little bit outside of Charleston, but this place has a reputation for a reason. And they don't open reservations until a couple of weeks before the date. So when we were planning this trip, I was like, cool, let me go check it out. And I was like, I'm never going to remember to do
right.
that. It's too far in advance for me. So, but that's just how popular this place is that they can do a system
yeah.
like that. So when I was connecting with this colleague of mine, he said, let me know what date you want to go. I've got you. And I was like, okay. So I don't know. I think it was literally like 3 days before we went. I'm a butt. And I finally remembered to email about that. So sure enough, like Saturday at 1 o'clock, we got a reservation.
Meant
so
to be.
Exactly. Good friend of the podcast, Hillary, who
Ooh.
Came with us to the Grand Tasting last year,
yes,
actually,
she did.
Now that we mention it. We were both fortunate to eat our entire faces off at this
good.
Lovely restaurant. If you've been to Sullivan's Island, it's like one long street with some really cute restaurants and things popping up. It's actually grown quite a bit even since we were there
really?
For the bachelorette party.
Yeah.
I'll have to look up the name of the
like
other
place. We
went to
like the Edgar Allan Poe place.
Yes, Poe's Tavern.
Poe's Tavern.
But there's a place across the street from there that we went for dinner the previous night, I think.
Is that the place we got all the green tea shots?
It was not.
Okay.
I think that's a pretty popular Irish pub.
That was great.
That was absolutely slammed. When I was there on the day before St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
So I guess it was St. Patrick's Day that
if
I can't
it was Sunday,
remember.
It
that
was
a Sunday. So I think they treat the whole weekend like the day. So like, it's extended. But anyway, Obstinate Daughter, it's beautiful. It was packed, but it wasn't like tight, right? Like there was clearly a wait. The place is beautiful. Every single person that we interacted with was stellar, right? Willing to give us recommendations, which was difficult because everything looked so good. Oh. And this is one of my favorite things. We were sitting next to the window where the food pops out. So I wanted to see everything.
What's that?
And I have to tell you, I have never been more tempted to order a salad because the salad that they put up on that window, it was like it had snowed Parmigiano Reggiano on this thing. And we had already made our decisions. It was too late by this point.
Next time.
Some standouts that absolutely cannot be missed. And again, this is a James Beard Award finalist for Best Chef Southeast. It is easy to see why. We had a couple of different pizzas, and they're known for that. We had the Miss Carolina pizza with red and green tomato. This was maybe my favorite dish of the whole day, though. Ricotta gnocchi with short rib ragu.
Oh my God, man.
And I thought, I was like, I don't really want like a big pasta dish. I am telling you, the gnocchi was light as a freaking, like it was an actual pillow.
Yeah.
It was amazing. So many times you get it and it's like kind of cloyy.
Yeah, it can get gummy if they do it wrong, gluten-y.
This was heaven on earth. It was lovely. Also a standout was something that I had not had anywhere else before. They had a flatbread with a butter bean puree, almost like a hummus.
Yeah.
But super light, it just had this texture that was out of this world. We also got this was Hillary's fault because everything I think had meat and stuff in it, the blueberry acai bowl, which almost acted like a palate cleanser for us because it was like sorbet.
So yeah.
Had that in between some of the heavier dishes. The cocktails were great. Everything was stellar. Service was stellar. So again, like there's a reason why they have that reputation. So if you're going out to Charleston anytime, 2 weeks before, do yourself a favor. Check for reservations, or call me and I'll see if I can't sneak you in and exploit the crap out of my relationship.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Take the drive a little bit outside of Charleston to see what else we have to offer.
I think that's a great point. Like, there's obviously a ton of great things in Charleston or in any of the cool cities that we have. Savannah's a great example, but also just off the beaten path. You can find some cool stuff too. So don't feel like you've got to be stuck in downtown or city center. Branch out a little bit.
I'm gonna quote Rick Steves here.
Go on.
Don't be a tourist. Be a traveler.
I'm a traveler.
Yes.
I like to be a traveler.
I've been a traveler recently.
Yeah, have you?
I've been. You know what? We need to come back from break, and I need to tell you all about it.
Okay.
All right.
We'll take a little breaky break.
CLT first. That's spelled C. LT1ST. It's a refreshing new podcast of Charlotte people, by Charlotte people, for Charlotte people.
No bots, no AI, just real human voices. We call it news for people who are so over local news.
We work with natural allies, all locally owned, like the Charlotte Ledger, Queen City Nerve, Charlotte Post, and many others.
We're all about local, local, local with minimal murder and mayhem. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Instagram.
Change your morning routine with us.
CLT first.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.
Welcome back.
I'm so refreshed.
She's like, we don't even do ads anymore.
This is just for our benefit.
No, we can.
Look, I'm going to drink water.
Here we go.
Ugh.
So good.
I hate it.
I know, but it's so good for you.
Ugh.
I think you're getting to that point now where you've drank enough water that now your body knows when it's missing it.
Yeah.
And then you start feeling like a dried out sponge.
And it becomes a panic.
And then you have to.
You have
to water right now.
Right.
I'm an orchid.
I feel like a sponge. I need watered. Like that one time I went when I was a kid and we went to Myrtle Beach. And like you do as a kid at Myrtle Beach, you get a hermit crab.
Yeah.
And they have to have that little sponge soaked in water, right? I'm like, my hermit crab sponge is dry. This was a longer analogy than I meant
it
to be.
I won a goldfish once at like an elementary school carnival and he lived for like 2 years.
What?
His name was Buster. Go figure.
That is abnormal.
I know. And I picked the very special one. He was all brown. He was a goldfish, but he was a brown fish.
Buster sounds beat up as hell.
He was little ratchet.
By that, he was like, kill me.
I know. I wish I was dead. Oh yeah, no. He lived a lot longer than my mom thought he would, so sorry.
I had the same experience with a gerbil.
Mm.
Her name was Ginger because the Spice Girls were a thing.
Of course.
So I just, Ginger Spice. My brother had one named Coolio.
Okay.
Because the late 90s were weird for all of us.
Do you remember that there was an episode of Sabrina the Teenage Witch with Coolio in it?
You know, I didn't. I have blocked that memory.
Welcome back.
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
We were going to talk about my trip.
We were. We've gone on a different sort of journey. But okay. I know that you had this trip planned for quite some time.
Yeah, over a year.
And I, to this day, have not been able to retain every single place that you went because it is vast.
It is vast. I finally got to go on a Viking River cruise.
That's right. And
I
you
explored
almost...
explored the world in comfort.
Is that the voiceover?
That's it.
Oh, boy.
That's the daughter of the guy who runs it.
I'm not surprised.
Those are the commercials that you see on PBS.
That's the market, right?
That's it.
So
that's how they
I
got
like
me.
It's amazing that you came back and you didn't get snatched into somebody's family be married off to their son. It was close, from what I understand.
It was close. We'll get to that. It was close.
Got it.
It was a really interesting time. I was excited about the idea because, for me, the hardest part of traveling is packing up all my shit and moving it from place to place and every night having to be transported to a new place and unpack and then repack and back and forth all
That's
the time.
Annoying.
Yeah. So I thought a river cruise sounds like a really fun idea. And I was supposed to do one back last year in Portugal. My friends did it and had rave reviews. So I thought, okay, with this credit that I have, I'm going to book another one. So I reached out to my family and I said, I got creds. Does anybody want to not have creds and pay in to go with me on a Viking cruise?
So who bit?
My mommy.
Mommy.
My mommy, who I love spending time with. She and I travel really well together.
That's
and
nice.
We haven't really done any big international trips, but we've done a lot of domestic trips.
Cool.
And so we thought this would be a really fun way to do that. So the trip just evolved over time. We were able to bookend this trip, and we were on the Rhine River.
So fancy.
Yes, we started in Basel, Switzerland, and we traveled technically down the Rhine, but north through France and Germany, and eventually we ended up in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam.
That's just so much ground.
It was a lot to cover, and we went, I think, like 6 places in 8 days. So it's a lot, and we bookended that with 2 extra days on either end, 2 extra days in Basel, 2 extra days in the Netherlands.
That's right, okay.
So it was great. And so Basel's amazing. Switzerland is really a cool place to be. I could see myself like working and living there.
Oh,
I'm not
going
to lie. And it's just got a really great marriage of metropolitan, but it's not like really full of itself. So it was really fun. They speak French and German and like their Swiss German dialect. And it's kind of, you know, if you know a little bit of either one, you're okay. And they all speak English. So everything is fine everywhere I went, mostly, which was good because my French is very rusty and my German is even rustier. So that was tough. But,
Entschuldigung.
Entschuldigen Sie? Yeah. I don't know what you said. Excuse me?
I said excuse me. It's my favorite German word because it sounds like a Pokemon. Entschuldigung.
Well, here's what's interesting is then the Netherlands, where German is now Dutchified.
Mm.
So what do you say to say goodbye in German?
Auf Wiedersehen.
Yep. What do you say to say thank you?
Danke.
Danke. So like Dankeschön, right? In Dutch, it's Dankjewel.
Okay.
So it's kind of like similar, and it's an interesting language. It is a lot harder, I will say.
Got it.
So
okay,
but everyone there's.
I mean,
English,
German's pretty freaking hard.
It
so.
Is. It is hard, but at least you pronounce every letter, I guess. Which there's a lot of differences in Dutch.
Got
For example, did you know that one of the museums that you can go to there is the Van Gogh Museum?
Bless you.
Mm-hmm. Van Gogh.
Oh, bless you again.
Yeah.
Did you
know your favorite cheese is named Gouda?
Gouda.
Gouda.
Yeah, we make that joke in my house a lot.
Do you?
Yeah.
Gouda.
Mostly because I like
Gouda.
Gouda.
Who does that?
Gouda, Gouda.
Who does that?
Yes. Because we have Gouda at home almost daily. So once I learned that from my German-speaking spouse, I exploited that.
Well, I think that's a really good place for us to start with one of my gifts to you today.
Oh, boy. Is it Gouda? It's a big
Gouda guest. Gouda guest it. Gouda guest it.
I'm gonna post a photo of this because it just says Gouda, very old.
Switch it over. Look at that label. What does that say?
Dutch hero, very old.
Very old Dutch hero. That's like a retired Avenger right there.
Wow.
But Jen, how can you taste it if it's all sealed up?
I don't know.
Jen, you're gonna need a knife.
Did you buy me?
What about a Swiss Army knife, Jen?
Oh my God.
From Switzerland. But wait.
I'm going to guess that it's not. You have to narrate and tell people what you're showing me.
I just handed you a Swiss Army knife, but there's something about it that doesn't seem quite right, Jen. What could it be?
It seems like it's chocolate.
Yeah, it's a Swiss Army knife made of Swiss chocolate. That's what it is. I have a different knife for you to actually open it, but guess what? You don't actually have to. I brought my own.
Oh my God, I want it right now.
That, I know, don't worry.
You have one that's already
opened.
I brought
one that's already open for you.
This is like, we're putting this in the oven, and look, one's already ready.
Through the magic of television.
Oh, I could just take a bite of that with my mouth.
Don't worry. I did bring a real
you
knife.
You did bring an actual pocket knife.
I brought an actual knife
my
for
hero.
This.
Oh
so,
my gosh.
Please.
And I want to get, when we're done with the cheese which will be never. I want to talk about chocolate.
Okay, good. Because I want to talk about chocolate.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Very
cheese.
Old.
Very old Dutch hero cheese. Can you feel those crystals?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very happy girl.
I knew you would be.
This is the biggest block of Gouda I've ever fucking seen.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm very pleased that I was able
to
do that
for you. They don't sell these in this size at Harris Teeter.
And that seems like a crime to me.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Well, it would be $45.
Mm. I don't know how much I spent.
Don't tell me.
I won't.
Listen, so can you hear that? That's the Gouda.
That's 6 pounds of Gouda.
That is the block of Gouda that I will be working through in the next, we'll call it 2 weeks.
I was going to say 2 days, so.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's good.
I'm so glad you like it. I'm going to leave it out for you in case you need a munch later.
Thank you, I might.
Mm-hmm.
I have water here too.
Yeah, so there's something else in the Netherlands that's very popular. Okay. And you're going to hate that I'm going to make you try this after.
I'll be a good sport. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yes. So
I don't even know what it says. I don't need to know. It's some sort of candy package. If I didn't know any better, this looks like wheat gummies from Colorado. Not that I know what that looks like.
It's from Amsterdam. So
is it? Oh, boy. But they look like little black gummies. I'm assuming that means that it is licorice.
That is correct.
Ugh.
I know, but you're going to try one
okay,
with me.
I'm going to try one anyway. Try it anyway.
With our cheese mouths.
Okay.
So
okay.
Give it a little sniff.
Oh, yeah. Smells like anise.
Uh-huh.
Okay, here we go. Oh, I hate it so much.
Yeah, here's
Abby.
The thing. Here's the thing, too. It's salty.
How are you even chewing that?
No, it's a lot of work. It's really hard. Here's the thing.
It's going to rip my teeth
out really
of my mouth.
You're not meant to chew it. Just kind of suck on it. Anyway, The point is, they love
just
to
make it last a long time.
They really like to mix sweet and salty black licorice together, which to me is a crime.
I don't get any salt on that.
That's good. We both got a sweet
is
one.
Is there salt?
Honestly,
wait.
I think
so you mean they alternate?
Look,
or
they all? I don't read Dutch, but I know that they love both sweet and salty licorice. And the last time I tried one out of this package, it was salty AF. And this one is kind of sweet. So I have a feeling that it's just all kind of in there in a mixed bag.
I don't even know what a mixed bag. I will say that this is not as pungent as I've had before.
I still want to get rid of it. Honestly, I think that our salt taste buds were just overblown by the Gouda. And that's why. I'm really proud of you for really working through this.
Thank
I'm watching your torture.
It's really
it gets
the texture
better.
That's the hardest part.
It gets better from here. I promise my other gifts are not torture. That was the only one.
I'm a good sport.
You are.
I appreciate the game.
I'm going to chase that with some cheese.
No,
no shade.
This is your ploy to get me to drink water.
That's right.
A pretty little tin has entered the
tin.
Building.
So one of the reasons I stayed extra time in the Netherlands was so that I could meet up with two of my teammates who actually work in The Hague.
That's right.
Den Haag is what it's called in Dutch. And one of my lovely teammates, Nora, brought out this little gift for me. And these are the best.
Is there a wind-up snake in there? Pow.
Nope.
Pow.
All right. It's a beautiful tin. It's like Delft blue, you know, looking like tile work. It's Stroopwafel.
Stroopwafel is my favorite.
Is it? Because this truly is to me, because I've always been kind of lukewarm on Stroopwafel. This truly is the best Stroopwafel I've ever had in
all
my
right.
life. So please.
So listen, while you work on that, I was introduced to the Stroopwafel because my dear sweet husband is obsessed with bicycling. And when you're biking the long distances that we sometimes do, you got to bring snacks.
Yeah.
And there is a brand of like athletic protein style stuff called Honey Stinger.
Yeah.
And they have like Stroopwafels like this that have like extra protein in them so that you have them on the go.
That's a great idea.
Okay, here we go.
Give a sniff first.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, give it a try.
Okay.
So good.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Delightfully light textured. Some of them can be a little too chewy, like hard, but the caramel in here is perfect.
Based on what we just had, I don't think anything could be too chewy compared to that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, even like the waffle itself is nice and caramelly.
Yeah.
It's just like the best cookie.
You have no idea how hard it's been to not eat all of this.
I'm really proud of you because you've been back for a minute.
I've been back for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's been hard.
Well,
I brought back a lot of stuff for myself that I've been working my way through, including like 2 pounds of crispy M&Ms.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
They don't have them here anymore, do they?
They come and go
and
they're hard to find, but also they taste different there because the chocolate is better. They also don't use any artificial flavors or colors, so you open them up and it's just like, here's our lame, boring colors.
Muted color
palette. Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, it's super fun.
Yum. Thank you for that gift.
Okay. Now we're going to go backwards. We're going to go to Germany.
Okay.
Okay. So we were in the Netherlands. That was super fun.
Do you have a bag of sausages down there?
No. I ate all of the sausages.
That's okay. I forgive you. I wouldn't ask you to
stop chewing.
To hold yourself back.
No, I had to eat all the sausages.
You're the first.
No.
I'm so sorry. No. I had to get that in. I know. All right, carry
on. It's worth it. Yes. So Germany's a beautiful place. And one of my favorite things to do whenever I go to any different countries is go into a grocery store.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And just explore some of the different popular things that you find mm-hmm. there. And of course, there was tons of Easter stuff in every country I went to because it was right before Easter. And I just wanted to like the chip and junk food section to see.
Weird chip flavors, right?
Right. And so I brought us one that actually is an homage to what I brought back for you from Portugal. It's not tin fish, even though I'm wearing the shirt.
But is it a shrimp?
It's not.
Chip? Is it a... wait. Is it gefilte fish?
No, it's not gefilte fish. But I did bring you jamon-flavored chips. And so I'm bringing you a bacon-flavored chip.
Oh, okay.
I have not opened these. I have not tried them, so.
The brand is called Ya.
Oh, yeah.
We have to play that song.
The House of Holbein.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Did you see
my God. They look like little bacon strips.
They do. They look like literally bacon strips.
Oh, my God. My dogs will love this.
They are precious.
The smell is a little off-putting.
Ooh. Yeah. That is liquid smoke right there.
It is.
Ooh, boy. All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
Clink. It tastes just like bacon. I like how puffy it is.
Yeah.
It's like an air puffed.
It is. It's not like just a potato chip. It's some other sort of setup there.
It tastes like brisket.
It does taste like meat.
Like liquid smoke. That's what I'm tasting here. All right, Jeff.
It's growing on me.
I'm liking it. I'm into it. I also really like the texture. I'm going to have to ask Jeff to translate this for us because it's bacon, maize, rice, snack, meat, herzhaftem, schinkengeschmack.
You get schmack. I like that German words just mush everything together.
Yeah. No, they're bacony.
Oh, I like the Nutri-Score as well.
Very bad.
At the very bottom, it has A to E, and it starts in green, like, yay, this is good, all the way down to red. This is ranked a D, orange.
All right, so look, we're still in the safe zone then.
We're not that bad. That's probably for the
That's like an ozone watch, not an ozone warning.
Right.
You know?
100%.
So it's like it's an orange air quality day. So we're fine.
I like these.
Just put on a little.
I like the taste of these more than I like the smell.
Agreed. I normally don't make a habit out of sniffing my chips, but anytime I try something new, I have to sniff it.
It's a good...
Ooh.
That one was like... There's some inconsistent flavor profiles here.
Oh.
One had like extra flavor on it.
Uh-oh.
Extra salty and stuff.
Okay, well, you would like right?
I did like that.
There's also something interesting. I know. I'm really giving
I'm going to get another bite of Gouda.
Get some more Gouda.
Get some bacon out of my mouth.
Get some more Gouda because the next gift that I have for you is not food technically.
Oh, boy.
But it is still food technically.
That's
what could
so
this
vague.
Mean?
I don't know.
What could it mean?
I'm scared.
Now, we're making a bit of a step backwards. I'll say one thing because we're going to go from Germany to France, then back to Switzerland.
Okay.
So one thing I want to share about France, because I didn't bring you back anything specifically French, is I just want to take a moment to talk about Crémant, which is a type of sparkling wine that is made in the Alsace region.
Yes.
And I had the pleasure with a private tour guide who actually brought me and my mom to where our family's ancestral home was in Unspach, which would be Hunsbacht if it was German. And this is an area in the Alsace region which is it's French and German, and it has switched sides so many times. It was French. It was German. In one period of time, someone could have been those nationalities. Four different times their nationality could have switched.
Dang.
And that was just in, early 1900s. So it's been a wild ride for this region.
Oh, identity crisis.
Yes. But so this area is French now. And we went to his little town, and he brought us to a beautiful boulangerie.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an amazing little baguette and some snacks. And he said, well, I'd love for you to try our local Alsatian wine called Crémant.
Mm-hmm.
And so he popped it open, and it is just a beautiful, very champagne-adjacent type of sparkling wine. It was lovely, easy drinking, because I had two glasses just sitting there.
Oh, God.
I was sitting in a park. There was a swan and her nest of babies right in front of us.
Jesus.
And he was like, the tour guide was like, I want to go look at the swan. I'm like, no, don't. They're aggressive. And he's like, not here, bitch. Like, he didn't say that. But in America, swans and geese are dangerous.
French swans are just like
French
totally
swans are like,
fine.
They're over it. They're over you.
They're
and
drinking
tourism.
The champagne, too.
That
so.
Is correct. She was napping. It was midday because her healthcare is taken care of, Jen.
Did you have that one in the
no!
chamber?
No! That's why improv is my sport. All right. So anyway, so that's France.
Town
and I really
name
liked
called Hutzpah.
Got it. Unspach.
That's close.
Thank you. That's You're it. Very close.
That's what I said.
However, so passing ourselves backwards, we're going to go back to Switzerland. And this is technically kind of a Germanic type of thing. So in Switzerland, in Germany, there is a tradition with your Christmas tree. So, of course, I got you an ornament.
Oh, God. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. For those of you that don't know, I'm obsessed with Christmas. Full disclosure, I am an atheist, but I fucking love Christmas.
Christmas the holiday and Christmas the religious holiday are two very different things.
Very different things. Okay. You said technically not.
Technically and technically.
I think I already know what it is.
Have I already gotten you one of these?
I don't know, but I'm excited. Is it a pickle? Yes!
Yay! So what do you know about this? What do you know about this?
Very little.
Okay.
Please educate me.
All right. So there is a...
It's beautiful, first and foremost.
Thank you.
It's like not sparkly, but just shimmery. So it's not like annoyingly like shedding glitter everywhere.
Right. And it's got like lump and bumps, but they're like classy.
Classy bumps.
So it looks like a cuke, but like...
with classy pickle bumps.
Lump of bumps. Anyway, so there's this tradition in Germanic culture where... and some people do this, some people don't, because we asked this on my international team, and half the German people are like, we don't do this. This is weird that you're asking about it. So anyway, I got it in Switzerland, so maybe it happens more in Switzerland.
Cool.
The idea is that you hide a pickle in your Christmas tree, mm-hmm. and like kids race over to find the pickle. And like, it's just like a thing. It's like, yay, congratulations, you got the pickle. So when you're decorating your Christmas tree this year and every year henceforth, I would like you to hide the pickle and make sure that you torture Jeffrey with where the pickle is hidden on the tree, not elsewhere.
It has to be on the tree.
You need to hide it on the tree.
Oh boy.
I know.
I'm going to need to amp up the amount of decorations that on my tree.
We can arrange that.
Yeah. I also like to tie meaningless things to games like this. So the Christians have the baby Jesus hiding in the cake, right?
For King's cake. Yeah.
I feel like if somebody finds the pickle, either something, they're responsible for something or something good happens to them.
I feel like something good should happen to them. I feel like they should get the first pastry that you've taken out of the oven, or they should get something sweet or special.
Okay.
Or like the first like pop of champagne. I don't know.
Okay. I like that. Like,
we'll feel it out because I will clearly
we'll
be there.
Yeah,
I will. I'll be there to decorate the tree with you. So
I like this idea. I like it a whole lot.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
I have one last gift for you to try.
Oh, God.
This is also from Switzerland, and it is a special dessert, or it is a dessert, but it's like a, it's, I don't even know how to describe it to you, but it's called Leckerli. And it's like a spice cake, but it's chewy and it's a little drier. It's very interesting.
Okay,
and so I brought some for us to try.
I would love to try it.
So,
oh, it's cute.
This is Leckerli from the Leckerli house.
Okay.
So I want you to just kind of...
I'm looking at like little brown squares of cake.
And look at how they're like kind of laminated.
Oh, God. I'm ripping
that. It's okay. It's a lot more than I'll eat.
Oh, yeah.
So here we go. So you can see that it's just, it's like airy and it's...
Oh, it smells like a gingerbread.
Yes, and it has a gingerbread vibe, but it's got a really interesting texture. I want you to try it.
Oh.
It's chewy.
That's completely different than that.
Totally unexpected. Oh, she got it right in the Jolly Ranchers saliva.
Right,
yep. There are little pieces of candied fruit in here as well, which is what you're going to get little punches of, like orange and ginger.
I fully expected that to be super crumbly.
I know.
That's wild.
I
need one more.
Yeah, please help yourself.
But it is definitely like a light gingerbread flavor. But when you're looking at it, like you can see it, it just looks real crunch.
And it's
how
got,
do they do that? Did you learn
anything? I have
anything?
No idea. No, I wanted to go to a place to make it, but I just ran out of time.
It almost seems like a, what's the word? A scone. Maybe they twice bake it somehow.
Maybe,
to
you
get
know,
that
texture. Probably, yeah, that would make sense.
I
know.
Gills.
That's where I get triggered from. Like, I can just look at a Jolly Rancher and my salivary glands are just go.
I think it's the licorice that did me in on that.
No. It's got some really powerful citrus punch in there. So I think
it was getting me a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's the specific food. I think I'm just in that zone.
You're just there. You're
I'm
in
just
it.
There.
Well, if you look at our table, it's strewn with gifts and treats of all sorts from spanning four different countries.
That's amazing. Like, the amount of ground that you guys covered in that time is incredible. And I love vacations like that too, where you feel like you are experiencing something completely new, but you're not so stressed out about it.
Because
I know for me, the older that I get, the less enjoyable that kind of thing is. So we really have to be intentional about sort of how much logistical nightmare we're giving ourselves. We have an upcoming trip to France around 4th of July, which seemed like an appropriate time to go to France.
Yeah, so, they were right after that.
So. I mean... It's our tradition now, right? You do it twice as a tradition, traveling to Europe. over the 4th of July. Last year we were in Spain.
I think Congress people went to Russia on the 4th of July once, so that's
cool.
Fun.
That's I'm basically a Congress people. Yeah. But we're going to go into wine country and take the train out to Lyon and Dijon.
Hell yes.
So more to come on that. I have a lot of learning to do about French wine.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you know, I'm just like a little bit stuck in my like American big bold red kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And while we have branched out to some like Italian reds or some Spanish reds, the world of French wine feels very intimidating to me. So we're going to baby step our way into that world. We may have opened a bottle of Beaujolais the other night.
Ooh.
And it was lovely and cheap as fuck.
There you go.
Well, it seems like a good extension.
I agree. And I think, don't forget that you have until July. We have lots of friends here in Charlotte who have been on the podcast
right.
who can tell us all about
Sean
French
Paul,
wine.
I'm coming for you,
Sean
friend.
Sean Paul, I'm telling you, he's got that cool book.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, so we gotta go brush up on all those things like I'm coming along. I'm just going to fit in your backpack.
Please.
Yeah.
Please do.
I'll be there.
Awesome.
Je parle français. Un peu.
Un peu peu. Un peu peu.
I'm about to be.
I'm about to have an un peu peu. Oh, God. Well, this was a lovely entry back into here. What is season 4 of our lovely little podcast. For those of you who have been around since the beginning, thank you for sticking with us. Looking forward to what the rest of the season may bring.
We have a lot, and we're going to talk to a lot of people. We're going to have a lot of fun experiences, and we're going to recap some of our amazing trips, as always.
We are. We're branching out, and we're taking you along with us. So for this here batch, my name is Jen.
My name's Abby.
And this has been
Amuse Bouche.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.